Pop Spotting 212.
Tuesday, February 14th, 2012.
I love you, pumpkin.
I love you, honey bunny.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's TV Tuesday, and we're going to spend some time with the FX network.
First, we wanted to check in on Justified, since we caught up on season 2 and are following along now that season 3 is airing. Then we're going to share our love of Archer, an animated series that's wonderfully, horribly hilarious. But let's get started with Justified. It was one of the first TV shows that we checked out solely on the recommendations from you all. It got a thumbs up from Heath in Burbank, our Ross, Laura in Massachusetts, Jessica in Wisconsin, Stella in the Philippines. Everybody loved Justified.
We reviewed season 1 way back in July of last year, and it was a long wait for season 2 to come out on DVD, which we marked on our calendar and went straight to Costco the day it was released, and we resolved to finish it in time before season 3 premiered last month.
And we were able to do just that. Now, if you recall, season 1 brought us the story of Deputy U.S. Marshal Raylan Givens, played by Timothy Olyphant, back to Harlan in Easton, Kentucky, where he had to come to terms with where he left things off with his family and get up to speed on all the crimes and conspiracies that are taking place in his hometown.
We had bad guys like Boyd Crowder, played by Walton Goggins, and his dad, Bo, played by MC Gainey.
And we had complicated women like Joelle Carter playing Ava Crowder and Natalie Z playing Winona Hawkins. And it's a great show with great characters, although I think when we closed our review, we said that we thought that the bad guys were the most interesting part of the show, even though Timothy Olyphant and Raylan Givens is the star of the show. So now that we've seen season 2, is that still pretty much the case with Justified?
Certainly. I thought the high points of season 2 are Margot Martindale from Dexter as Mags Bennett and Jeremy Davies from Lost as her son Dickie. Mags Bennett is the matriarch of the Bennett clan, and her family are longtime rivals of Raylan Givens' family. Mags is a ruthless drug dealer, but at the same time, while she's dealing drugs, she's also trying to hold her family and community together when a big coal company comes and wants to tear up the area. She's a mom, and as a mom, she's by turns just loving and horribly, savagely cruel. She pretends to be very passionate about community values, and maybe she is, but she's also casually murderous.
I thought Margot Martindale was brilliant. She was great to watch throughout all of season 2. I like that the arc basically followed that rivalry and her role in the community and with her family and her sons, and I love that she loved her sons so much. She wept for them. She wants to protect them more than anything else, but she's also responsible for most of the injuries and bad things that happened to her sons as well. And yeah, I mean, she says that she's trying to do the right thing. She's looking out for her family. She's looking out for her neighborhood, for this entire town. And even though she's able to rally them and they all trust her and everybody knows who she is and she knows everybody's business and she's amazingly powerful, you want to love her even though you automatically have the lowest expectations of what she's actually up to. And at the same time, you enjoy seeing her southern charms basically, you know, mesmerize the community. You also kind of have a perverse sense of satisfaction when you turn out to be completely right about her deeper motivations.
Her last scene in season 2 is absolutely chilling. It might be the best scene in the series so far because it culminates everything that we've come to know about her, and we really understand exactly what kind of person she is at the very end of this scene.
I thought that it was fantastic, and I like that it was a bookend to where we first meet her character, and we see very early on what she's capable of in what she does to this man who's kind of a rival to her interests, I guess. Maybe she sees as a threat, and she basically takes care of it, but it turns out that he is the father of a young girl named by Loretta, played by Caitlin Deaver, and she's my second favorite character that we meet and that we follow through season 2. Even though she's this young girl, she's wise beyond her years. She knows more than she lets on. She, you know, doesn't speak more than she has to. She kind of ends up with a close connection with Mags, and Mags actually comes to love her and take her under her wing, and yet she also has kind of an attachment to Raylan Givens. I mean, they have a pretty good relationship as well. I just think that Deaver is fantastic, and all the way through, I see Jennifer Lawrence in her in Winter's Bone.
I do too.
Independent young girl who can take care of herself if she has to.
Yeah, I see that. I see her kind of as a younger version of Rhee in Winter's Bone. She's very tough. You know, she's talking about pot and how she's going to make money and stuff like that, but she's still a little kid. You can see this real vulnerability in her face as she's discussing these things.
Yeah, I mean, she's not even in every episode, but you're always kind of thinking about her. You're always kind of worried about her. So her performance, and especially Margot Martindale, made season two completely worthwhile for me.
It seems like there's more of a focus this season. One of the things that made it hard for me to warm up to it initially was that it felt very case of the week. We met the various people that Raylan had to protect or bring back to jail. And it's more about the Bennets, Givenses, and Crowders this season. And I like this because I find the mythology of the families fascinating. I want to know how they all came to be in competition with each other and how they relate to one another. But the only downside to this arc is that I miss spending time with Raylan's co-workers. I miss Art, and I miss Rachel, but I especially miss Tim because it seems like we're getting little tidbits of Tim's personality here and there, and I find him really fascinating.
You know, they don't spend a lot of time with him, and so I guess I can see that curiosity. I definitely love Nick Searcy as Art Mullen. I mean, he's, I guess, the quintessential, you know, typecast captain or, you know, the boss in any law enforcement environment, but something about him is still just charming and lovable. I do like Rachel, Erica Tazell, and because, you know, you're right, we're not spending as much time chasing down bad guys or, you know, doing the marshal's work, so we're not spending too much time in that partnership. But I agree, I like how season two kind of settled down and spent a lot of time with the heart of this community, this town and its history, and these families and how they fought with each other or even had alliances and broken alliances and trusts and betrayals. It's kind of like a southern mob story, or I mean, mm-hmm. I'm perfectly honest, when they start talking about territories and everything, I was even thinking about Game of Thrones, but it's just kind of that more grand and epic story that they're telling that I was really sucked into.
Overall, season two was really great. The only thing that really sticks out in my mind as being unnecessary was the Winona money storyline. I thought that the whole thing, it went nowhere. It came up and it didn't have anything to do with the plot line, and it was immediately forgotten as soon as it was resolved.
Yeah, I mean, it did seem like they just had to have something happen without it having greater ramifications. I think that they've dropped hints that it might, in terms of, for example, the level of trust between Raylan and Art, his boss, in terms of what it means that he allowed himself to get tangled up in all of that. But yeah, it seemed a little off note in terms of what the characters would actually do and what they'd actually be like. It didn't seem to have any significance. I kind of described it to the whole car wash, you know, subplot on Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
They wanted these characters to do something, but I definitely agree it was unnecessary, but it didn't ruin the whole season for sure.
No, and the only thing about Winona, I like her as a character, but I found that I like her much more when she's not in a relationship with Raylan. I think she's an interesting character on her own, and it seems to me like the single Winona would not have made the mistake with the money that she made.
I can see that too. And, you know, I think that there's something to be said for the great romantic tension that Raylan seems to basically bring out of almost any attractive woman he comes across on the show. So yes, when he's in a relationship, I can see how that's a little less interesting. We also spend a little more time, though, fortunately, with Raylan's family, including his dad, Arlo, played by Raymond J. Barry. And I have to admit, I really liked, and then I was actually surprised at where things went, not with Arlo specifically, although that comes up in season three, but what happens to his stepmom, Aunt Helen, played by Linda Geringer.
That was a shocking development because we really thought that Raylan had certain feelings and certain maybe animosity toward Aunt Helen, but we realized that his feelings about Aunt Helen were a lot deeper than that. And so what actually ends up happening to Aunt Helen is surprising, and we really feel that it must have shaken Raylan to the core.
Yeah, I mean, they spent so much time kind of developing that relationship, so at least that arc was very satisfying. We mentioned briefly that Megs has sons, and we, of course, Jeremy Davies being one of them, Dickie. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the dynamics between Dickie and his brothers. You had Doyle, played by Joseph Lyle Taylor, and Coover, played by Brad William Henke, and, you know, none of them are the sharpest tool in the shed, and they have a little bit of fun with that, but they were all very distinctive and all very colorful, and you kind of knew how each one had a role in the family and interacted with each other. And you know, there are a lot of shows where there's like so many brothers and sisters and family members that you can't keep them straight, but at least for those three brothers, they were distinctive enough that I can still see their faces in my mind.
Yeah, they're all very dysfunctional in their own unique personal ways, but season two was a Lost alumni bonanza. You had Jeremy Davies playing Dickie, he was Daniel. Brad William Henke, who played Dickie's brother, Coover, he was Bram. Raymond J. Barry, like you mentioned, he plays Arlo, he was Grandpa Ray, Jack's grandpa, and right. MC Gainey, who played Bo Crowder, was Tom Friendly.
And it was really great seeing Jeremy Davies here in this role with this character, because he has all the sort of mannerisms and quirks and body postures and drawing out words that you saw as the scientist Daniel on Lost, but now he has a southern accent, he's a little more dangerous, and he's also not quite so smart, and it's just fun to watch him explore here.
And he looks so dirty that watching him makes me itch.
He wanted to take a bath, maybe.
But just like in season one, I think it all comes down to Boyd Crowder, played by Walton Goggins. He's really, he just continues to be the most fascinating character on TV right now. He's so charismatic. He can continually reinvent himself and talk people into following him, including Ava, who is his brother's widow.
Yeah, I love his character because of those transformations from, white supremacist and bank robber to preacher to leader to so many other things. And he's so good at charming people and making people think that things are their ideas, that people who should hate him, people who he's responsible for doing dastardly things to, end up working for him or helping him. And it seems so implausible, but seeing that performance, you believe it can happen. But that was season two that we watched on DVD. Now we are starting to watch season three as it unfolds on FX. Mm-hmm. Just very briefly, are you enjoying season three as well? I mean, is Justified still one of your favorite shows on TV?
Yeah, it still is one of my favorite shows. I'm enjoying the unfolding of the mythology, and we have a bunch of new baddies, but they're not quite as scary as the ones last season. We have Robert Corals, who's a member of the Dixie Mafia. He's played by Neil McDonough, and mm-hmm. I think he's just slimy. He's not as scary as Boyd, and he's definitely not as scary as Mags. And we have Michael T. Williamson from Forrest Gump playing a character named Elston Limehouse. And what's interesting about Elston is that race relations really do play a role in the storylines and the mythology on the show. And to finally get a point of view from an African-American who is a little bit on the criminal side, it's refreshing to get a point of view from a character like
that. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think race relations has always been an undercurrent, but there hasn't been much of a voice from that side. You do have Rachel. We don't want to, forget her, Raylan's partner, but mm-hmm. she's part of the system. She's the man. So we do have a better voice here. And I don't think that we've seen the worst of what these new baddies can do. So I'm hoping that they'll still surprise us. But yes, I too am greatly enjoying Justified. I think that we are very grateful to our listeners for having put this show on our radar. Another show that's on our radar, in part thanks to a recommendation, is Archer. It's an animated series. Our friend and previous Thursday guest John Norton had mentioned Archer when he chose the comedies, several comedies on the FX network, as one of his recommendations, so we did turn it on.
I checked out a random episode. It was from season two, called Placebo Effect, which deals with a character's fight with cancer, and I think
That's right.
A great place to start. It was a great introduction. The show is defiantly raunchy and politically incorrect to the max.
Yeah, I like that episode. I can still remember it as well. And yes, it was a little serious, but just horribly hilarious. This show goes so far over the line. I couldn't believe what I was watching. And of course, that's why we were hooked. And I enjoy the start of the show where they have to put the warning up and it has all of the letters lit up. It's TVMALSV for mature audiences with language, sexual situations, and violence. And every time I'd hear the voice come on saying that it is TVMALSV, well, one, I wanted it to be the name of my next band, but also I just cheered because I knew Archer was coming on. The show was created by Adam Reed. He's very well known for putting together the Adult Swim block of very adult cartoons, and I would say that Archer is probably one of the best in the set right now. He's also one of the great voices on the show. But before we get ahead of ourselves, what is the setup for Archer?
Sterling Archer is an agent with ISIS, which is an independent spy agency run by his mom, Mallory. Sterling also has to work with his ex-girlfriend, Lana. Lana's other ex, Cyril, and a support team, including Mallory's assistant, Cheryl, Carol, Crystal, whatever her name is this week, HR boss, Pam, and a mad scientist named Dr. Krieger.
And there are other characters as well, but that's sort of the key set. And basically, this show has just fantastic voice talent. Well, of course, it would have to be as an animated series. I like the look of it. The style, it is very clear and distinct, and it's actually animated and put together entirely in Georgia, I think, mm-hmm. Atlanta, possibly. And so that's enjoyable, but it is about about the voices. It is about how they bring real personality to these very unusual characters. So Archer, the protagonist, his voice is H. John Benjamin. He was the voice, I think, of the son on Dr. Katz, which was this cartoon on Comedy Central. He frequently collaborates with David Cross from Arrested Development. You've got Mallory, his mom, and she's voiced by Jessica Walter, who you most definitely would know if you watched Arrested Development. Lucille Bluth, the mom there. Lana is Aisha Tyler. She's a comedian. I think you mentioned her when we talked about Chelsea lately. She's also co-host of The Talk, one of those mid-daytime sort of talk shows. You've got the voice of Chris Parnell playing Cyril. You might know him from 30 Rock.
Dr. Spaceman.
Yes, Dr. Spaceman. He was also on Suburgatory. And the character of Cheryl or Carol, or as you said, whatever her name is this week, that is Judy Greer, who we had a lot of great things to say when she was in The Descendants. And of course, she was also on Arrested Development.
There are tons of Arrested Development connections on the show. And I sort of think about Archer as a sister show to Arrested Development.
I can see that.
You have Jessica Walter, Jeffrey Tambor, who played George Bluth as Len Drexler.
Right,
there was
right.
a guest shot by David Cross. Judy Greer, who plays Cheryl Carroll, was Kitty
was
on
Arrested Development.
That's right. And the show has been described by Reed as James Bond meets Arrested Development.
I can see that. I think that's a great way to describe the show, and probably one of the reasons why we love Archer so much. And in addition to all of the regular voices, you do have some great guest voices as well, and probably more than we could name. I know that they've had Ron Perlman, you know, he of Sons of Anarchy. You've had Darren Criss from Glee, someone who, you know, our daughter loves quite a bit, and even Patrick Warburton from Seinfeld or The Tick.
Putty.
And I just love that guy's voice. So they're clearly going to get all of the best voice talent they can get to contribute to this show.
And, you know, despite the off-color humor and the gross-out jokes, and there are a lot of those, what I like best about the show is that the characters are more complex than on a lot of live-action shows. I think every character is a contradiction in some way. Like Woodhouse, Sterling's butler, he's a World War I hero, he's a heroin addict, and he's verbally abused by Sterling every single day, but he is the most protective and loving person. He treats Sterling like he's his own son, and Sterling himself is incredibly smart, but he lacks even the most basic common sense. Sterling makes these literary references and these pop culture references that just blow my mind, and he makes these jokes that nobody else gets.
I love Sterling. I mean, clearly he's the star. Even in the show, he's depicted as the world's most dangerous spy, but it's obvious that some of it is not necessarily out of skill, but dumb luck. But he's great. I mean, he's completely selfish and self-absorbed, but he's also brave when he has to be. I mean, he has these moments where he surprises you. He's completely shallow sometimes, but that he's also kind of thoughtful sometimes. I mean, I love that he's, on one hand, completely mean and ridiculous to Lana, his ex, but on the other hand, you know that he still cares about her quite a bit, and that also comes through on the show.
Yeah, like the hook that got us into the show is watching Placebo Effect, and in that episode, he gets attached to this fellow cancer patient named Ruth, and they spend a lot of time together. They talk about TV and stuff, and when she dies, he gets very emotional.
Yeah, you know, those serious moments are probably very few and far between, but they are still very effective. I mean, they're definitely memorable. And although we are talking about some of these heavier moments and certainly these contradictory characters and how much depth they have, it's not really like that for the most part. In fact, the show pretty much is just a lot of fun, very rude fun, fun that you want to quote all the time, but you cannot possibly do it in polite company. I mean, all of the best parts of it can't be described on this podcast in any way. You're just going to have to check it out if it sounds like the kind of thing that you'd like. And the basic setup, I think, is completely irresistible because they do explore every cliche of spy movies and sort of the spy trade, everything that you might even have in your head. They go flying off to international cities or deep into the jungle or on speeding trains or remote islands. And in fact, it was one of the more recent episodes that was on the train. It was titled The Limited.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved just all the way through. It was probably one of my favorite episodes. They're transporting a prisoner back to his home country of Canada. He's a Canadian terrorist. And so, of course, they're just making so many non-correct, stereotypical comments about Canadians and Mounties. And, of course, there's opportunities for making non-politically correct comments about black people. And even, you know, the pop culture references. There was a really good one. He was, like, trying to make a comparison to the situation to the movie HUD with Paul Newman.
Right.
And he's actually standing there going, oh, wait, what was her name? The woman in HUD, what was her name?
Patricia Neal.
Right, so you said it out out loud, because his brain is kind of like your brain. And again, so that's one of the many reasons why this show is so much fun.
I enjoy it because there are continuing storylines. It seems like they could just be random things strung together, but there is a continuous storyline. There are lots of callbacks to previous jokes, running gags. For instance, Sterling is obsessed with Burt Reynolds, who actually does provide a guest right. voice. And Lana, the character, has very large hands, and that's remarked on in almost every episode. And Sterling is also obsessed with the song Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins.
Exactly. Danger Zone! It just pops up. And it's such a quotable show, but only, you know, with someone that you really trust and love. We can't even read. I mean, it's one of those shows that the dialogue is so fast and witty that you're laughing so hard, you got to skip back to catch mm-hmm. up because you've missed something else because you're busy laughing at it. I mean, basically, if you have the right sense of humor, I mean, if you liked Arrested Development, if you liked that kind of quirky humor, but also sort of the non-PC stuff, you have to check out Archer. It's one of our favorite shows to just put on before bed. We just keep all of these episodes because just 5 minutes of it is enough to put us in a great mood. And fortunately, they're not even halfway through season 3, which is on now. You can catch Archer every Thursday night.
Did we mention that it's not for kids?
Yes, absolutely important to stress that. In fact, I'm always worried because it looks like a cartoon. It's very spy. It's very fun, something our kids would love. But if our kids quoted any single line out of Archer, I would probably faint. But anyway, those are a couple of shows that we've been watching on the FX network. But as always, we do want to know what you've got on your TiVo. We do want to talk about what you want to talk about. So please don't hold back.
You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net. You can comment on the blog at popspotting.net. Or you can call us at 815-310-0808.
Please tune in tomorrow for Wild Card Wednesday. We're going to go back to movies because we're going to bring back the Flick Chart Face-Off.
Our theme song was created by Dan Pashman of The Sporkful, and we want to say thank you for listening to our show.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen. Arrivederci.
Ciao.
Buonanotte.